You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning and Happy New Year. This is Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative. And if you are live and listening to this radio station, then you are blessed. You are a part of God's children. You're listening to Catholic Chicago on 750 AM WNDZ. This morning, my guests are Miss Valerie Jennings and Deacon James Norman. Good morning.
Good morning
and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you all. You're looking bright and cheery.
Oh, yeah.
It's a new year.
A new day.
A new year, a new day. 2019. How does that sound to you all?
Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah, can't believe it's here.
I know. It's been a long year.
It's been a long year for you.
And we've accomplished quite a bit.
Well, and that's why we have you here. We have you here to talk to us about, you know, what has happened over this last, 12 months or so since we last talked. So tell us a little bit about Renew My Church and what things have been happening over the last 12 months.
Well, this time last year, we had just the Stony Grove grouping had finally finished up all of their summary and had decided to become one parish with one church with one worship site.
The Stony Grove grouping. You know, that sounds like so long ago now
I know.
Because, of course, my church is a part of that grouping, right. And it just doesn't even sound right anymore.
Well, because it has a new name,
yes.
Too. Because finally, we ended up having a final decision made in terms of which parish site would be selected to house or to become the new parish. Mm-hmm. And that ended up being the St. Albie worship site. Mm-hmm. With a new name. And the new name, of course, is St. Catherine Drexel.
Yes.
And we're at a place now where all three parishes are, and have come under the new roof of one place, and they're all worshiping together. It was not easy to get there because there was a lot of pain and anxiety about moving into one place, because people at St. Felicitas and the folks at St. Joachim, they had to come to terms with, gosh, where we were accustomed to being will no longer be.
Yeah.
And of course, they were going through a grieving process, and they will continue to go through that for probably a long time to come.
Question I have for you in reference to that. So there is a grieving process. Mm-hmm. Is there any counseling? Something that I didn't think of before. Is there some type of counseling or whatever? What can parishioners do to talk to someone about what they're dealing with?
Well, we have an accompaniment director. Her name is Kathy Walls, and she heads that up. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the role that she plays in the process. While we were going through the grouping process in terms of evaluating where they would end up, mm-hmm. We did have people like Deacon Greg Shumpert, who accompanied them on the journey, and Dr. Opal Easter. So they're still available if they need more accompaniment, if they need to talk to someone other than their pastor. They have a great pastor that's been named, Father Paul Whittington. Mm-hmm. So, and then, of course, Deacon Jim and I are always available.
Yeah, and I know Deacon Shumpert himself has gone through this before. So
he talks
about real life experiences.
Right.
And he certainly is one that can talk to you about going through something like that.
Right.
The parish also went through an implementation process. So as it was beginning to form, actually 6 months, which was a process which was intended to bring everyone together. To get to know one another, to understand their ministries, best practices in those ministries, build new and effective ministries in the new parish community. And that process was meant to help with some of the healing and give people the opportunity to see a new reality and a new future together.
That's a good way of looking at it,
In addition to what Valerie had mentioned related to St. Catherine Drexel, the reason the years seemed so long, there were actually three other groupings that took place in the last year. There was the South Shore grouping, which was Our Lady of Guadalupe, Sacred Heart, St. Michael, South Shore, and Immaculate Conception. There was the Cal City grouping with St. Victor, Our Lady of Knock, and St. Andrew. And then most recently, there was the South Holland grouping with St. Jude, Holy Ghost, and St. Mary, Queen of the Apostles. Right. Valerie, as a vitality coordinator, served as consultant with both the Stony Grove grouping, which is now St. Catherine Drexel, and also the South Holland grouping, which was St. Jude, Holy Ghost, and St. Mary, Queen of the Apostles. So our involvement in those groupings and helping them move through the process, difficult. We think they got to, some good decisions and gave some outstanding feedback to the Cardinal so a final decision could be made, and that those four groupings are in a much better place going forward for the future.
Are these groupings in the same, situation that the new Catherine Drexel parish is in? Or in other words, have they been, or have they selected a new name as well? Are they as far along?
So the South Shore grouping, which is OLG, Sacred Heart, St. Michael, and Immaculate Conception, the final decision was OLG will, Our Lady of Guadalupe will remain its own parish. Sacred Heart will remain its own parish community. St. Michael and Immaculate Conception will come together as one parish, still to be determined whether there will be two worship sites or one. So we're still waiting for that outcome, and that won't happen until a new pastor is assigned. St. Victor, Our Lady of Knock, and St. Andrew, decision was made that it will be one parish community, two worship sites, Our Lady of Knock and St. Andrew. St. Victor will close. And then the
South Holland grouping, which is Holy Ghost, St. Jude the Apostle, and St. Mary, Queen of the Apostles, they just finished their summary, their feedback, which was passed on to the executive committee on December 7th. They will receive an answer and a response to that on January 24th.
Okay.
So
this month.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so the cardinal will provide, or the at least the cardinal's liaison, which is Father Jason Malavi, will provide that that answer to that particular grouping, and a decision will be made in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
So I'm there. Everyone is anxiously waiting, of course. And but it was was in the South Holland area. So it's happening everywhere.
Yeah, I know. And it's nice to also hear that there are different solutions depending upon the situation.
Well, with the South Holland grouping, that particular grouping decided that there was only a need for one parish and one worship site. Which parish and worship site that is going to be selected remains the mystery. So that, that was part of their feedback, that they made the courageous decision that there was only a need for one place in the South Holland area.
Okay. Well, look, we're going to take a pause right now and then join you in just a few minutes.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years. Then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Supich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll show you how the Catholic Campaign for Human Development reaches out to people living on the margins. We'll take you to the UIC Pavilion, where more than 8,000 middle school students celebrated their faith at Holy Fire. And we'll introduce you to Deacon Freddie, who is on a mission to provide toys for needy children in Guatemala.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
So how many churches have officially transitioned to being a new parish, if you will? Is it just St. Catherine Drexel at this time?
No, there are others across the Archdiocese of Chicago. I don't know the specific number, but there have been in between there was a wave zero and a wave one. Between those two waves, there have been at least 16 groupings.
Okay.
And there have been a number of parishes that have been formed as a result of that new grouping. One that I can think of is the West Humboldt Park, which came together as one parish, three worship sites.
Okay,
you know, in the Humboldt Park area. So that's an example of that. So a grouping, think of a grouping as a place where parishes come together to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. They're maybe close in proximity. The future demographics dictate that they might come together and have a conversation. Once they have this, go through the conversation, which is the discernment process, they then take a look at their October counts, current capital needs, future capital needs, future demographics that might impact them. And then they, given scenarios to initially start looking at, they can create additional scenarios, but they give feedback on the scenarios that they're provided. Mm-hmm. And any additional feedback on scenarios that they are created, which go to the commission, which makes a recommendation to the cardinal. The cardinal makes a final decision and takes that to the presbyteral council. So any grouping, the place where a conversation starts, could end up in a different configuration than another grouping. Mm-hmm. As I described with OLG, Sacred Heart, Michael South Shore, and Immaculate Conception, there were four parishes. The final decision was that there would be three parishes. Mm-hmm. Sacred Heart would be a standalone parish, Our Lady of Guadalupe would be a standalone parish, and St. Michael, South Shore, and Immaculate Conception would come together. Different from Catherine Drexel, which Valerie had referenced earlier.
Right.
All three made a very bold and prophetic statement saying, we want to come together as one parish, as one worship site. And that fit the demographics of the community that they're going to serve in the future. Mm-hmm. The Renew My Church initiative is both spiritual and structural. Mm-hmm. Its focus is Catholic vitality 5 to 10 years from now. So who do we need to be? That's kind of the key conversation and discernment that the grouping is considering. Who do we need to be 5 to 10 years from now to be a viable and vibrant Catholic presence in this community?
And because we've talked a lot about the structural piece of it, mm-hmm. but it's also about meeting those mission imperatives, you know, which is making disciples, building communities, and inspiring witness. So if you're only doing it with maybe 50 or 60 people in the pews and you're worried about the leaky roof, you know, your focus isn't going to be on doing a whole lot of community building mm-hmm. outside of the walls of your current structure. If you only have 110, and then in this other parish only has maybe 200. Mm-hmm. So if you come together as one, then there's an opportunity for you to build community. You're able to, you know, bring others to Christ. You're, in other words, you can make disciples, and then you can be a witness. So if you're, but if you're trying to do it with just so many or so few hands, just only, you're only holding each other up.
And it's only a matter of time. And so yeah. I hear what you're saying. And it's a tough situation for the parishioners to be in,
yeah.
Those who have been at church or their churches for quite some time. So you guys have learned a lot, I'm sure, and it sounds so complicated. And just tell me, what have you learned over the last 12 months, and what things are you thinking about that maybe you need to tweak and make it better, if there's such a thing?
There probably are three things at least. Mm-hmm. One, I think everyone, to make sure that people understand what the Renew My Church initiative is. So if you don't know, refer to your bulletins, go to the Archdiocese website, invite your vicariate leadership in to do a Renew My Church 101 so that you can ask questions about the initiative, understand mm-hmm. the process, understand why, and understand the outcomes of the initiative, understand the foundational principles which drive the initiative, understand why we need this initiative because of what's going on externally around our church and certainly here in Chicago. And then efforts to soft collaboration, the ability to reach mm-hmm. out to other parishes in your grouping to get to know one another, the leadership, strengths and opportunities, and to begin collaborating in certain ways, whether it be forming a combined religious education program across three or four parishes, whether it be reconciliation services, whether it be, you know, just coming together for social hours. But getting to know one another, I think, is really important. And then the other, I think, is keeping people informed during the discernment process,
mm-hmm.
Keeping the discernment
team. It's constant communication. And, you know, for those who read bulletins, you must read your bulletin because a lot of things are communicated through the bulletin. Also, as Deacon said, looking at the Archdiocese website, there is a lot of information under the Renew My Church banner on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And try and relieve yourself of the fear because we're all in this together.
I think, Valerie, that's a great point, looking at this year, this new year, is to release the fear. And to just walk boldly in Christ and trust that God knows what he's doing. How often have we all been in position where maybe we were a little fearful of entering into this new whatever it might be? But when we look back, it seems to me anyway for myself, when we look back, we always get through. It always somehow works itself out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet it's difficult to see that, to believe that when you're in the midst of it, when you're dealing with all this. One of the things, though, I must say that I've noticed for our grouping is it's really important, too, to have the right leadership.
Yeah, leadership is key.
Leadership is key. You know, the new priest that we have, Paul Whittington, is a wonderful guy. He seems to be able to get along with most everyone. And I say most everyone because there are going to be some people that just don't care. They're not going to get along with you no matter how great you might make it for them. But I think that he's a great leader, and I think he's the right person to lead this new church, new parish.
Yeah. He's the right man for the times.
Yes.
You know, he really is. And so we've had an opportunity to spend quite a bit of time with him.
Yeah, and we're going to continue to spend more time with him, obviously, going forward. We're going to take another break and join you in just a few minutes.
Cardinal Blaise Supich speaks on behalf of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Now more than ever, it is important that we as a society recognize how poverty and injustice strip away human dignity. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development works with nonprofits, both faith-based and secular, to provide the vital support needed to promote systemic change in our communities.
To find out more about CCHD and to contribute, go to archchicago.org and click on Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Please join me as we work together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to fight poverty and ensure that everyone, especially those who live on the margins of society, participates in decisions that affect their lives, families, and communities. Now more than ever, we need the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
What looks more peaceful than a sleeping baby? I'm Monsignor Mike Boland with Catholic Charities. So often mothers and fathers come to us, homeless, hungry, and hopeless, with a sleeping infant. They remind me of a cold, starry night and the mother, father, and their sleeping infant in Bethlehem. Because of your help, there is always room in our inn and hope. Visit us at CatholicCharities.net. God bless you and Merry Christmas.
So when we left off, we were talking about Father Paul Whittington. And, you know, I had a good feeling about Father Paul long before this occurred, long before we were grouped. And, of course, he was considered and obviously selected to be our new leader. Mm-hmm. And so I was really happy personally. And I'm also happy that we named the new church or parish St. Catherine Drexel.
Yes.
I'll have an opportunity to preach about that and why that means something to me. It's a personal story that I have that goes back as far as when my mom was a child, where St. Catherine Drexel helped them build their first church.
Wow.
In Gulfport, Mississippi. So, you know, for me, it's like coming full circle. It's like this was meant to happen, and I'm really excited. And, yeah, there's some sadness. You know, St. Felicitas closed their doors basically on Christmas Day.
Yes.
There was a young lady, I should say a young girl. She must be about 10, 11. She was vividly upset, and you can understand that. It's a child, and child or children are going to have those kind of reactions, even adults, of course, but it was sad. And so looking at our situation, you know, there was also joy, too, because people were feeling like, OK, we can get through this. We're going to get through this. And so you did see, you know, some excitement, some anticipation as well. My question to you both is, you have experienced this sort of thing yourselves now for over 12 months. Has it affected you personally, you know, working and dealing with all of these emotions?
Well, for me, it strengthened my prayer life.
I bet.
You know, leaving some of those grouping meetings, it can, you know, you question, am I doing the right thing?
Mm.
You know, God, where do you want me to lead these people to? Where, you know, how am I to really address them in a way that's compassionate and that's caring and that's empathetic. So those kinds of skills, it's caused me to have a lot more strength around those skills.
Yes.
Because if you're not willing to be empathetic, then you're in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're going down the wrong road. You
mm-hmm.
have to, you really just not wear your feelings on your sleeves, but you have to be willing to put your, you know, personal feelings aside just to, and be open to what others might be going through.
Yes.
I think in addition to that, certainly prayer, you know, this vision of where we're going has really been important to me. Also reflection and kind of searching out scriptures myself of like, what was the church when it was at its best? You know, you find it in 1 Peter, you'll find it in Acts. We were believers gathered together around the table sharing everything in common.
Mm.
We were not buildings. We weren't boilers. We weren't roofs. We weren't, you know, we were together. There were no walls between us, spiritual or otherwise. And so how do we return to that? Mm. Also knowing that, you know, my parish will be impacted the same way as others.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My parish community, and I've been in my parish for 37 years. And so, you know, how will I face that? And so dealing with others with the same kind of compassion that I would want, and I will be in a similar situation before this process ends.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think you always need to look at it from that lens, right?
And then there's an aspect of, you know, as you were referenced earlier, letting the Holy Spirit do its work.
Mm-hmm.
Let it do its work, because there are times where there won't be words, and you let the Holy Spirit, and you'll find a voice of compassion that might come from the audience. It may come from a place you didn't expect,
mm-hmm.
And you see the Holy Spirit at work. So it teaches us all to kind of let go and
let
the process.
God. Yeah, let go and let God. Yeah. You know it.
And it's not personal. You know, you have to realize that this is not personal. It's not about you. And I think that's where Deacon Jim and I come in into play, is that we know that when people are really voicing some strong concerns about where they are in this process, we don't take it personally. We know it because it's not about us, and they're just expressing, you know, their pain.
Amen. So we have about 2 minutes left. I want to get one question out to you real quick and mm-hmm. then let you ponder about this other. What is the timeline the Archdiocese has to complete this process?
It's probably about another 3 to 5 years because of just how large the Archdiocese of Chicago is.
Yes.
Just in Vicariate 6 alone, we're talking about 60-plus parishes.
So you guys need prayers yourself.
We do. We
always.
Do. Yeah.
Before
we're
this all,
we're always
started.
Praying.
Oh, my God. I think I'm going to step it up and pray for you even harder, because obviously you're dealing with so many emotions mm-hmm. and so many issues that you have to be prayed up yourselves.
Yes.
And
stay prayed up and not prayed out.
And what are your goals, hopes, aspirations for this new year?
You know, this is a time of year, as the year comes to a close, you kind of think about last year and what you want to do and accomplish this year. I mean, I think continue to help and shepherd this effort through, to do that in a way that is compassionate. And effective in the long term for the church. I mean, my view is always that Vicariate 6 will be a stronger faith community in total, more vibrant parishes, more actively engaged in helping to turn Vicariate 6, the south side of Chicago, around in terms of violence, in terms of faith, in terms of poverty, in terms of, you know, family life. And I think we could do that through this initiative, not only for our own, but for the broader communities on the south side of Chicago.
And that's building community. That's, you know, that's a way of bringing people to Christ. And that's a way of inspiring witness.
Well, thank you both for your strength, your courage, and your witness, and all the work that you do. We're going to pray that God continues to bless you, guide your steps, and lead you to do all that he sent you to do. God bless you guys. Happy New Year again.
Thank you.
Happy New Year to you also.
Blessings.
Amen.
The decree of the Lord is trustworthy.